Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this Reminiscere, second Sunday in Lent, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the third chapter. We will read verses 1 through 17 in that chapter. Today I'm going to do something a little different. What's going to be up on the screen is the King James Version. But honestly, that's kind of pretty confusing. So I'm going to read it directly from Greek. I'm going to translate it from that because that's more effective and I think it will get the message a little bit better. So you're going to read it up there in the King James Version, but this is actually the rendering of the Greek text. Now there was a gentleman of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish people. This man came to him by night, and so he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that from God you have come a teacher, for no one has power these signs to do which you're doing, if not were God with him." Jesus said to him, "Honestly, I'm saying to you, if someone is not generated from above, they haven't power to see God's kingly reign." Nicodemus says to him, "How has power a human being to be generated being an old person? They don't have power into their mother's womb a second time to come in and so be generated, do they?" Jesus said, "Honestly, I'm saying to you, if someone is not generated of water, also spirit, they haven't power to come into God's kingly reign. That generated of the flesh, flesh is, and that generated of the spirit, spirit is. Don't be surprised that I said to you, it is necessary you be generated from above." The air spiration, where it wants, spirates. Also the voice of it you hear. But you don't know from where it comes, also to where it withdraws. In this way is everyone who is generated of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, "How have power these things to come to be?" Jesus replied, "You yourself are the teacher of Israel, and these things you don't know? Honestly, I'm telling you, we know what we're talking about. And we, what we've seen, are testifying to. And still, our testimony you don't get. If the things on earth, I said to you, also you don't have faith in, how, if I would say to you the things in heaven, would you have faith in those? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who out of heaven descended, the Son of humanity. So also, as Moses made high the snake in the deserted place, in this way, to be made high, it's necessary, the Son of humanity, so that everyone who has faith in him would have life eternal. For in this way, God loved the world. Inasmuch as the Son, the only generated, he gave, in order that everyone who has faith in him should not be destroyed, but have life eternal. For God did not send the Son in order to pass sentence on the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him." Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this, your word. And we pray, Father, that you would quicken it to our hearts to understand who we are through the finished work of your Son. That, Father, we now live through your Holy Spirit. And living through your Holy Spirit, Father, we walk anew in a new life that is not understandable according to natural means, but is only approachable through your marvelous light in the finished work of your Son. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. When we come to this text has been murdered in preaching because the intent of it has been totally missed. The reality is not some individual, I'm going to be born again. That's really not what this text is about at all. As a matter of fact, what it's speaking about is to understand the corporate work of God, the finished work of Jesus Christ. In here, when Jesus is addressing Nicodemus, he actually changes this. He is not saying, you know, like we do, you must be born again. No, that is not what he says. What he says in good Uber talk is, yous guys must be born again. Yous must be born again. He's not simply talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to the whole of the Jewish people. And in reality, he's talking to the whole of the world. What he's saying very clearly is you cannot continue in the old existence. The old existence, as he indicates here, cannot grasp the things of God. Now, see, we might make fun of Nicodemus and think, you know, he's just a slow old man. No, Nicodemus was a wonderful person. He's scared to come to see Jesus because he recognizes, by recognizing Jesus, the powers that be are probably not going to be too happy with him. And so when John brings this out, he illustrates very clearly, Nicodemus comes to him by night. He comes out of the darkness. And this is done with great purpose to show very clearly he's in the dark. He doesn't really understand a lot of these things. He's really a great and nice guy. But he doesn't understand the nature of the kingdom. And the reason is, and that's why I did this in Greek, because this isn't simply you're not able. This says very clearly, dynamis is the word that's used here repeatedly. It means you do not have the power. You do not have the power. You can't get there, is what he's saying to Nicodemus. You cannot get there. And no matter how hard you try, you can't understand. And in his own words, he tells him, yeah, I don't get it. You know, how can a person get back into the womb when they're old and be born again? And Jesus is trying to tell him, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that. What I'm saying is, all of this has to change. I'm not asking you to crawl back into your mother's belly, but that's what you think when I talk about these things. And that's why this term that's used in Greek is the term we get generate from. And you understand, a generation has nothing to do with time. It's a biological term. It actually refers to a generation of offspring. Refers to a group of offspring. What Jesus is saying is you've got to be generated from above. You've got to have a different generation. You can't just function according to the old one. And Nicodemus couldn't understand that because he couldn't understand it. You know, how is he supposed to understand this sort of thing? No person can really understand this. It's impossible to understand. And that's why Jesus says, well, you have to be generated again. You have to have a new generation. You have to be regenerated. And this comes to you not by your natural means. He says, this comes to you by water and by the Holy Spirit. You are baptized into Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, He renews you, and He gives you the new birth. He gives you the new thing. And you can't understand this. Luther talked about baptism. He says people stare at it like a cow stares at a new door, because they don't understand that what we're really talking about here is the regeneration. What we're talking about is the generation of a new existence that is fulfilled only through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says very clearly to Nicodemus, is you have to understand, and you don't. You don't. Because you don't. But you have to. You have to. And that's where this passage takes on its reality. Jesus tells Nicodemus and all of us, you have to, but you can't. So I will do it for you. I will do this for you. You see, Jesus tells him very clearly, and it sounds kind of mean, but it's not really mean. Nicodemus came to him and he called him Rabbi. He called him Rabbi, which means kind of like super instructor. You know, you're like this really, really great guy. And he says, and we know the stuff that you do, that's like godly stuff. And God has to really be with a person to do this. And he calls him and he says, we know. Because of that, that you're a teacher. You're a teacher. God sent you to be a teacher. And this is where Nicodemus doesn't understand. No, no, no. God didn't send him to be a teacher. God sent him to be a savior. God sent him to be a savior. And that's why Jesus turns this word around later on Nicodemus in the text. And see, we don't get this in English. He turns around and he says to him right away, he says, are you the teacher of Israel? He says, you're talking about being a teacher? He says, you're the teacher of Israel? And you don't know these things? And that's why he turns around and he says, we know what we're talking about. Now you notice he uses we. He says, we know what we're talking about. Because what he just said is everyone who is generated by the Spirit is like this. He says, you don't know. And this is a word play in Greek. The word is pneuma, that's spirit. And this idea of blowing is pne. And it actually sounds really nice in Greek, and it sounds lunacy in English. We turn around and we say, well, the Spirit, you know, like blows like the wind. No, 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 no. That's not what this says in Greek. It uses these words that rhyme. They're exactly the same. It's spirit, spirate, inspires. And those words don't exist in English. I made them up. In order to fit this, to understand, it's spirit that he's talking about. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You were baptized by God into the Holy Spirit. That's what John said of Jesus when he would appear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit. And you're new. You are new. You look at me and you say, no, I'm old. And I look at you and I say, no, you are wrong. You've just been conditioned to think that way. This says you're new. You are new. And I'm banking on this. You are new. You see, what we need to understand through this life is to realize what Jesus is really talking about here, is to understand by the Spirit, you're new. You are not old. And as a matter of fact, your old understanding cannot fit the new. It won't fit the new. So if you're going to try to understand God according to the old understanding, nice try. The only way to understand him is in the new, is by the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus says we know what we're talking about. We know what we're talking about. Why? Because the Spirit of God gives us that understanding to know what we're talking about. And the Spirit of God confirms the fact that we know what we're talking about. And we testify to what we have seen because we have seen this through the Word of God and by the testimony of God the Holy Spirit. We see and know this reality. And that's the reality that we now live in. And that's why Jesus tells Nicodemus, you need to understand. In the same way that Moses lifted up that serpent, that snake in the wilderness, the bronze one that the doctors have in their offices, you know, the caduceus. He says, in that same way, because you guys must all have a new birth, he says, I have to be lifted up. The Son of Humanity has got to be lifted up for you. I need to go to the cross for your healing. And just as if they looked upon that snake, they would live. He says very clearly, if you look upon me, if you come to me and you look upon me, you will live. You will live. And this is why what follows on this, Jesus did not say. You know, if you have red letters for John 16 through 21, they shouldn't be red. That's John. In Greek, you can understand this right away. John always, when he leaves the story level, he always puts in this Greek particle gar, which means for, for. And when he returns to the story level in verse 22, he always says, after these things. So this is John. It doesn't make it less the Word of God at all. It's just Jesus didn't say this. John did. Because Jesus does not call the Father God. He refers to him as the Father. And Jesus does not call himself the only begotten. John calls him that. And John is the only one in Scripture that does refer to him that way. When he says this, he says to indicate the whole purpose of his gospel is that people would believe and they would understand that God has done this work for them so that they can freely come to God. And that's why he says, for in this way, in other words, lifting up his Son, sending his Son in this way, God so loved the world. So how much does God love the world? He loves the world so much. He loves every one of us so much that he sent Jesus to be lifted up on the cross for us. That's how much God loved the world. In this way, God loved the world, that the only begotten Son, the only generated, actually, is what that says in Greek, the only one that he generated, he gave. He gave. Okay, you church people. He gave his Son for you. You betcha. That should make you a little happy. He gave his son for you. And he gave his son for the whole world. In order that anyone who has faith in him would never perish, but have life into eternity. Why do I have to try to get you to smile? I don't understand it at all. You know, I just don't get it. He just told you, you will never die. You will never die. And as a matter of fact, you're going to live into eternity. And here's church people. Yeah, if I told you that you hit the lottery, you wouldn't be sitting there doing that. You'd be like, oh, God is good. The reality of things is God is just that good. God is good. And that's how much he loved us. That's how much he loved our world. We all hit the lottery. He gave us eternal life. He gave it to us. And then he takes all of this other nonsense out of the way and he says very clearly, for, John repeats that again, for God did not send the Son of Humanity to pass sentence on the world. He did not send him to judge it. You're smiling, at least that's nice, yeah. You're smiling. Yeah, because he did not send him to judge it. We live all of our life in fear of this judgment. And he says very clearly, he did not send him to judge it. If he wanted to judge it, we wouldn't cut it. God did not send him to judge it. And yet people get up in the pulpit and tell you all the time, hey, better watch out for the judgment. No, you better watch out for the judgment, because that's a lie. God did not send his son into the world to judge it. But he says very clearly, but, he uses a very strong adversative here in Greek, Allah, which means rather, much more on the other side of this. In order to save the world. To save the world. To save the world. Yes, he saved the world. He saved us, and he gave it to us. He gave it to us freely. He gave it to us. That doesn't make you happy. I don't know what will. You know, just beyond me. I understand quantum physics better than I understand that. You know, to me, this is as easy as it gets. He just gave us everything. He gave us everything in Jesus Christ. Took away our sin, washed us and cleansed us, made us pure, holy, blameless in his sight, called us to eternal fellowship with him, gave us that eternal fellowship through the blood of Jesus Christ. He baptized us into his death. Gave us his life, and by his Holy Spirit filled us with the fullness of the knowledge of God so that we could live in full peace and understand very clearly that God is not out to get us. And anybody that tells us God is out to get us is lying, because he didn't send the Son to judge the world. He sent him to save us. Knowing full well of all of our failure, of all the things that we would do wrong. In full knowledge of that, he gave us Jesus so that we would put those things behind us. We would simply come to him for his healing. And that he would heal us forever, forever. So today you come to the supper. You come to the supper because it's freely given to you. You come to the supper because it's for all of those who name the name of Jesus Christ. You come to the supper of our Lord, and you feed upon him, his body and his blood. And he gives you that in order that you would live in him, that you would have life, that you would know the fullness of that life, the confirmation of knowing that his Holy Spirit is within you. And as a matter of fact, you are a new creation. You're eternal. You are immortal. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all iniquity. And you have his peace for eternity. And the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ keeps your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus forever. Forever. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, how can a person ever understand the fullness of your grace except that you would give us your Holy Spirit in order to make it plain? But Father, even then, it's so difficult for us to really understand the depth of your mercy, the power of your love, and to realize that you simply love us. You love us. But Father, we pray day in and day out you would grant us the grace of that same Spirit through the power of your word to understand all that you have done. That, Father, we would walk in newness of life, not according to the law, but now according to the finished work of Jesus Christ, that by your Spirit, Father, you have gifted us to walk in newness of life. Each and every one of us, Father, seen in the image of your Son, and blessed for eternity in the same, that your name would be hallowed and glorified forever. Bless your people as they come to the supper. Bless us all, Father. Keep us forever in your care. And enable us, Father, by your grace, to acknowledge your goodness and so to live. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.